Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, January 26th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody. Did you get used to that 2015 over the weekend?
I'm working on it.
All right.
Did I say 15 or 14?
No, you said 15. Now, you were complaining about it on Friday.
I know.
You know, a couple of days off. I wonder if that kind of smoothed the transition.
2015. 2016, 2017, 2018, 2020.
That doesn't even seem possible. You know, again, it really does sound like something out of Buck Rogers.
I know. It's weird, isn't it? Very bizarre. Well, the numbers for gold are not very bizarre today. We had a pullback today. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, I'm not sure what the trades were today, the volume on the market, but, I mean, my gosh, they're closing up the whole Northeast from, you know, north of Philly all the way up through New York and Boston and everything for this massive snowstorm that is going to be hitting. I guess it's already started and going in through tomorrow. Boston and reports of New York supposedly to get, you know, anywhere from 2 to 3 feet of snow, a historic snowstorm. We'll see if those numbers are correct come Wednesday and Thursday, but so certainly a lot has been shut down, of course. State of emergencies from New York, I mean from New Jersey to New York to Connecticut. And so we have gold down today, down 1370. Down 1370 at 1281.40. You have silver, and that just went down here in the last hour of trade, really, down 43 at 1797. It broke that. It was at 18 most of the day. Platinum was down 17 at 1250. Palladium did manage up 5 at 783. USDX today is trading down 0.19 at 94.80. And crude oil down 45.14. And the paper markets today, of course, I'm sure no big changes there. You have the Dow up 6 points at 17,678. The NASDAQ was up 13 at 4771. S&P up 5 at 2057. 10-year yield that popped back up 1.83 at 0.01 to the upside. So, I guess the big news today, Al, is mainly on the elections yesterday. There's some other things going on in the news. We can talk about that here after the break if you just want to, you know, go right into the Greece elections. And
yep.
Certainly an upset. And
It's an upset. I think, well, it's a surprise, perhaps. Everybody expected they were going to win. But they won handily. It was not a close, wasn't a close call. It was 9% difference. They hadn't counted all the votes, but there was a 9% advantage for the anti-austerity party, which I call the Greek Party Party. Because anti-austerity means they don't want to pay their bills. They just want to party on. They don't want any old bill collectors killing their buzz. So in any case, the anti-austerity party won. And Greece rejected the harsh economics of austerity. Again, I'm reading from the article in the New York Times. Greece rejected the harsh economics of austerity. Austerity means paying your bills. That's what it's all about. On Sunday, and sent a warning to the rest of Europe as the left-wing Syriza party won a decisive victory in national elections, positioning its tough-talking leader, Alexis Tsipras, to become the next prime minister. Now, this is interesting, and this is the significance. On one level, we can sit back and say, who cares? Well, Greece had an election and somebody got elected and somebody got voted out. So what? Well, it's because the New York Times says they sent a warning to the rest of Europe. And this is the significance of the Greek election. Is there an element of contagion in this election? The big question is, Greek is essentially saying, look, we can't pay our bills. We're not going to pay our bills. We want you people in Europe to agree to cut our bills by at least 50%. And they'll probably want some other concessions besides that. But they want to write off half of whatever it is they owe. Not everything, but half or more. But somewhere in the neighborhood of 50%. Well, okay, what if Greece does that? It means that creditors are going to take a loss. That's one point. But the larger point is, what happens to Italy and Spain and Ireland, maybe even France? Countries that already have a significant debt to greater or lesser degree. That's maybe not so much France, but Italy, Spain, Ireland. Are they going to sit back and say, well, look, if you're going to let Greece get away without paying its bills, how come we have to pay ours? And that's the danger here. We have this threat of contagion. Because if this catches on, that nations or governments can stop paying their debts when they're overly indebted and just say, heck with it, we're not going to pay. How are we going to stop that? What if that takes place and goes viral, essentially, in other countries? Say, well, we're not paying our debts either then. Greece is setting an example here, and other countries are watching to see if maybe they could get away with this too. And the creditor nations like Germany are sitting back and saying, oh my gosh, if all these people stop paying their debts, what happens to the creditors in Germany? And the answer is they're going to lose their assets. That's the answer if enough of these countries. So there's the significance of the Greek anti-austerity party winning this election, or at least it's one of them. Appearing before a throng of supporters outside Athens University late Sunday, Mr. Tsipras, 40 years old, declared that the era of austerity was over and promised to revive the economy. Now, that's really interesting. I don't know. Can he do that? Can he really revive the economy, refuse to pay his bills, and use the money he's not paying to his creditors to revive the economy? It's not impossible, but it'll be interesting to see. He also said his government would not allow Greece's creditors to strangle the country. Greece will now move ahead and hope with hope and reach out to Europe. And Europe is going to change. The verdict is clear. We will bring an end to the vicious circle of austerity. Now, Mr. Tsipras is doing something very interesting here. This guy is bold, right, or desperate, hard to say. But he's not simply saying, look, we need to stop enforcing this debt on Greece. He's trying to argue that they need to stop imposing that debt and forcing the debt on the other debtor nations in the European Union. He's trying to expand his base. So there's not just a question of, will other nations kind of look over the border and say, look what Greece did, maybe we could do it too. He's looking over the border and saying, you can do it. You must do it. Now, this is interesting stuff because we live in a world that's based on debt-based currency. The United States government and most of the governments in the world are in debt up to their ears. And in some instances, beyond their ears. And if this catches on, this is an extraordinary threat, in my opinion. That potential exists. I'm not saying that things are we're going to see the dominoes start falling. What I'm saying, we could. He's attacking the debt. The whole Western world is built on debt right now. So if this debt gets out of control, this attack on debt gets out of control. Hard to say where it's going to wind up. What else have we got here? Melody, do you have something?
Well, let me ask you a question. Is this party using the current economic problems to change? I mean, mainly to get elected. I mean, if you look at what comprises the Syriza party, a large group, I mean, it's communism.
Yeah, they're
left.
This is socialism, at least.
Well, if you look at how this party has come together and other parties that have combined to create and develop this party, I mean, they're communists.
Yep.
So here we go back.
Which is to say debtors.
So here we go back. It's sort of, and I was talking to a client today. He says, this is like, pre-World War II.
Yeah.
Here you have people that are going after this and electing a person thinking that he has all the right answers and that they're going to get their pensions back. They're going to get their jobs back. And it's almost like, this almost the same with Hitler. People welcomed Hitler beginning.
That's true.
So is this truly a repeat of history? I mean, are we seeing...
Well, it usually is.
Are we seeing
nothing
this,
new under the sun.
And we know what happens when... Well, yeah, but it's interesting to see the similarities and have the people of Greece been fooled. And when you read the comment about how Europe is going to change. It isn't a statement as he hopes that they're. They're going to change. So is this a way that here you have a communist party, for lack of a I'm sure it's not quote unquote true communist, but it's backed, I guess. So is there an idea of overtaking Europe? I mean,
well, what do you mean by overtaking? Getting other countries to also back out on their debts?
And joining that communist party.
Well, maybe so, because what we're really talking about, you can put different labels, he's left-wing and the rest, that sort of thing, I get that, and he's communist, and I'm not for it, against it, or whatever. I'm looking at this and thinking to myself, after World War I, they imposed a bunch of financial obligations, the winning powers, the West, the Allied powers, if they were called Allied at the time, but after World War II, they imposed a bunch of financial and political restrictions on Germany. Germany went through a period of that, in retrospect, we could call austerity. That austerity laid the foundation, provided the opportunity for Adolf Hitler to come to power.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and laid the foundation for everything that flowed out of it. Now we have Western bankers and whatever, and they're trying to impose austerity on on the Greeks. And the Greeks are saying, no, we've had enough of it. Because in part, the idea behind austerity and some of these other financial moves that we see from our central banks and governments are that they are going to restore prosperity and they're going to restore jobs, but they don't.
No.
And they're saying, but still you have to pay the bill. You're not going to have a job. Just figure it out. I don't know. Maybe you could deal drugs or something like that. People are sick of austerity. And there's serious questions here. We live in this debt-based society with debt-based currencies. And in response to what Mr. Tsipras has said in Greece about we're going to cut the – essentially we're going to repudiate half of the debt. She's saying, yeah, well, a debt is a debt, meaning a debt's got to be paid. But does it? Does a debt have to be paid? Especially when it's denominated in a fiat currency that has one value today and another value tomorrow and a completely different value a year from now. What debt is owed in fiat currencies? And if you can generate these currencies by just printing them, what's the big problem with just printing enough to pay off the debt? Now, these aren't necessarily rational, economically rational questions, but still they're questions that are going to appeal to a lot of people. Say, yeah, why don't you just write a dime, pay the debt, write a check to the so-and-so and pay the debt. We don't need to work. Why do we have to live in austerity? You guys are getting rich. You creditors are getting rich by just writing these pieces of paper and giving them to us and then say, oh, now we have to work and sweat and give up our homes and our property and whatever so you can be repaid for something that you really didn't invest anything in other than a little bit of paper and a signature or two. There are big questions that are implicated in the Greek refusal to pay the existing bill. And it's evidence also of something I've harped on for most of 5 years. What can't be paid won't be paid.
And what happens when they don't pay their debt?
Yeah, I know.
If they don't reform their monetary policies, it's all to naught. I mean, and they'll get right, but they're just going to continue spending, continue paying all these social programs that they have.
No, they'll try.
And as long as they have that fiat, if they don't reform that, they're in the same boat.
They're trying to say, look, we're going to pay half of our bills, all right, provided that you people in the Eurozone and the European Central Bank, you give us more money.
Yeah.
They're trying to play both ends against the middle on this, and the European Central Bank is saying, if you don't pay your debts, we're not going to give any more money. Now they're playing chicken. And who's going to win this thing? But something's going to break because there's not enough money to pay the debts. All right? Either the West or either the prosperous countries in the European Union are going to continue to fund the party down there in Greece. And people go on down and have fun. You don't have to pay your bills. Or they're not, and Greece is going to have to figure out a way to pay its own, how to pay its own way in the world. Somebody's going to get hurt by this. And this guy, Tsipras, bold, I don't know, probably intelligent, bunch of other things. I wouldn't want to be in his shoes for anything because I don't think he can pull it off. And when he fails, people are going to want his scalp.
Yep.
Let's take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Does the cost and risk of conventional healthcare concern you? Wouldn't you prefer inexpensive solutions to health problems rather than disease management? If so, tune into Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and the program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. We were talking about the problem in Greece, and it's not just a problem. There are implications here that are enormous. Greece, a little country. You know, you would think, what's the significance of Greece? But prior to World War One, some people might have said, what's the significance of Sarajevo? Some duke got shot. Well, big deal. Right? So what? Well, little things. You know, this is a little of that black swan situation and a little bit of this interconnectedness and consequences that aren't anticipated. Next, all of a sudden, something happens that you wouldn't think has all that much significance, and sometimes it has far more significance than anyone imagined or could predict. And we're looking and we're considering, is Greece one of these instances? And Melanie and I were talking during the break and going into the idea of the people of Greece have the idea that they can retire at a relatively early age. I don't know how old they have to be to retire, but they expect a pension from the government, and they expect this and they expect that, and they've had a generation or more of Greek politicians who've gotten up there and promised them, said, yes, yes, yes. It's like France. France has some program where people only work a few days a week, and as an hour, 2 hours for lunch, the whole thing is a little bit bizarre by American standards. It's a lot of fun for the French. But the reality that people don't grasp is that, and touched on a little bit in the first segment, the idea that they just want someone to just write a check and pay the bill. You're spending money out of thin air. Why not spend enough money to pay off the debts? Right? People think like that. Not everyone, but a lot of people do. And they don't understand that for the money to have any value, someone actually has to go to work and produce something of value. If the Greeks are going to have anything, the Greeks have to produce something, and it can't just be fiat currency. It can't just be borrowed currency. They actually have to become hardworking and productive. And not everyone understands that. They think that money is just something magical, and they just, here, give me a stack of money, and I'll go out and buy stuff. And we've been encouraged to believe that in this country. We are consumers. The Greeks are consumers. We live on borrowed money. Yeah? It can't work that way forever.
Really?
Really.
The government just can't keep printing those dollars. Come on,
well,
now.
And the government wants to, but they promise to. But in the final analysis, it doesn't work.
I know.
Work.
I get that.
You got to, yeah, I understand. It's one of those things, and they are being, the man who's running the Syriza party, this guy Tsipras, if I'm pronouncing his name properly, like I said, he has taken on an incredible obligation. I don't remember. I've got it somewhere in this article about everything he's promising to do. He's going to create 300,000 jobs. He's going to create. He's going to restore the economy. He's going to do a bunch of things and cut the debt in half and blah blah blah.
Sounds like a typical politician, doesn't
it? No, this is beyond typical. This is beyond
promises, promises, promises.
This is the sort of thing that would make the Wizard of Oz say, "Oh my gosh, that charlatan." You know, I mean, this is going.
Those are the things that you those are the things that you have to say to get elected anymore.
I understand that, but I have to assume there's a liability in telling those, making promises you can't keep. And he also says that he's going to start this immediately. He's not going to pussyfoot around here. He's going to hit the ground running after the election, and he intends to get things accomplished quickly. Now, maybe he can, and if he does, I'm going to be, you know, going to say, hey, more power to you, I guess, and I'm going to be impressed. But on the other hand, if it turns out he is quickly stalled in his ability to keep the promises that he's made, you're going to see the people turn on him. And if we're in a country, Greece, for example, that's not producing enough to maintain a significant standard of living. They don't want to give up the standard of living. They want the pensions. They want the early retirement. But they're not producing enough to actually support themselves. Where are they headed? And it seems to me that there's only two answers to that. And one of them is chaos. And the other one is an overt police state. They're either going to run wild or somebody's going to get themselves elected who brings in enough police officers to just crush the rest of them. They'll sit down, hunker down, and shut up.
That will be the direction they go just based on the philosophies. That will be the way it goes.
It's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
So the next question is, what about Italy? What about Spain? What about Ireland? Maybe what about France? Are they going to follow the Greek example? And it may not be that they have a choice. How much debt do you have to finally have before you finally admit, look, I'm sorry, we can't pay? I think Spain is well past that point. They're being encouraged and promised and bribed to pretend that they can still pay their debt, but I don't think they can. They might be able to, but I don't think so. When does someone finally admit that truth, and what happens if they do say, look, we're sorry, can't pay the bill? And the creditors who loaned them whatever currency they now owe, the foreign creditors, their wealth is going to be wiped out. When the debt is canceled, the wealth is gone. That diminishes the ability of countries like Germany and the other countries that are solid, stable, wherever the creditors are. It will there diminish their money supply. It'll diminish the amount of currency that's available to be loaned out to build another shopping center, another factory, you know, another little business. All that slows the economy. All of that tends to push you into depression, into deflation. You know, this is, Greece is going to be a fascinating little laboratory over the course of the next 6 months or a year. We're going to learn a lot about what is possible for any overly indebted nation, and that includes the United States. We're in deeper debt as a percentage of GDP than Greece was. We have more problem than they do. We have more advantages, I give you that. We still have, you know, resources and productivity that Greece can't rival or match, and that's that. But just the same, we are not so different from Greece. And you got to wonder, we can look at Greece, see what's going to happen, and it might give us a clue to what's going to happen to us. You know, they don't say so in this article in the New York Times, but it's certain that the prices in Greece are also down. They do say that squeezed by policies intended to stabilize the government's finances, Greece has endured a historic collapse since 2009. They never got out of, they never had the recovery that we've had here in the United States. Economic output has shrunk by 25%, and the unemployment rate hovers near 26%. Now, again, don't say so in the article, but the prices of Greece must also have fallen. And if so, Greece is in an economic depression right now. That's where they are. What happens in an economic depression? We see deflation, typically, where the currency gains. What happens during a period of deflation? Debtors are forced to repay their loans with more expensive currency. And when it's inflation, you take out the mortgage because you're going to pay off your loan with cheaper dollars. If it's deflation, you better not take out that loan because you're going to be repaying the dollars. You're going to be repaying with more expensive dollars. And that burden on debtors, people have taken on, it forces. It increases the probability that they'll default on their loans. Not everyone's going to default, but a lot of people will. And when they do, they wipe out the wealth that the creditor loaned them, because we live in a debt-based monetary system. If I renege on my debt, whoever I borrowed the money from, you're just SOL. Right? You're never going to see that wealth again. It's gone. It vaporizes the moment I say, sorry, Charlie, I can't pay. So we get into this period of deflation, which is characterized by falling prices, and everybody, it becomes impossible to borrow. It becomes difficult to get credit. And what we see happening in Greece right now is what will inevitably happen to every individual, institution, and government that is overly indebted. We are all, in our own way, little Greeks, right? And maybe we produce enough to support ourselves, and maybe we live on welfare. Maybe we live on government subsidies and the promise of government to somehow run an economy where we don't really have to work much or maybe at all, and still we can get by. Insofar as we've accepted these idiotic promises, and they typically come from the left, or at least leave them at the mass of the people, and then they have subsidies for the rich, and that comes from the right. Somebody's got to get this across. Now, one of us are entitled to a nickel that we haven't individually and personally earned. You got to get that through your heads. Because as long as we have this idea as a people, we're living like Greece. We're entitled to something for nothing. Huh? And I guarantee it cannot be. And as long as we believe that, well, let's get a subsidy from the government to support raising corn or to pay us for not raising wheat this year or whatever. Let's see if we can get our welfare boosted up so we can buy more Ripple. Want to live with that mentality? The moment is coming when you will be so impaired by this idea that you are entitled to someone else's wealth.
And you know, Al, watching from this side, seems like it's been a long, drawn out process. Yeah, I mean, we're in 2015, and you know, Greece has been, you know, focused since
2008.
But I was reading an article today, and I'd like to share this one paragraph. The whole article was about the ECB announcement last week about their new program of quantitative easing, and it talks all about that, how it's going to affect, and is this a good thing or not. But the last paragraph of this article, and it was produced by Hoosman Funds, it says it's not entirely clear what's going to happen in the near term, but the financial markets are already pushed to extremes by central bank-induced speculation. And with speculators massively short on the now steeply depressed euro and yen, with equity margin debt still near record levels and a market valued at more than double its pre-bubble norms on historically reliable measures, and with several major European banks running at gross leverage ratios compared to those of Bear Stearns and Lehman's before the crisis, they're seeing a lot of an abundance of what they called leverage mismatches. It's a preponderance one-way bets using borrowed money that has permeated the entire financial system. And with market internals and credit spreads behaving badly, while Treasury yields, oil, and industrial commodity prices slide in a manner consistent with abrupt weakening in global economic activity, it's very hard. It's hardly, they can hardly bear to watch. So when you combine these markets, and when you look at all of the central bank interruptions, or not interruptions, but, you know, all their stimulus that they have created, and then you look at Greece, how it was drawn out, I think what happens to the rest of the countries, ours in particular, you're not going to be able to watch it happen. It's just going to happen. And I think that paragraph really summed it up as far as, you know, how everything is mismatched. And how, I mean, when you have a market that's manipulated and created, I mean, basically our markets are just created by the central bankers. And you also have to ask the question, how big were the central bankers behind this election?
Yeah. I don't know how big they were relative to this. They're not in favor.
That's what they say.
Yeah, that's what they say.
That's what they say. But when you try to look at the bigger picture, and they know what's going to happen.
Well, I've got a quote here from a guy, and this is in the same article, but Paul DeGraw, professor at the London School of Economics, former advisor to the European Commission, excuse me. He says, Tsipras won because those who imposed austerity never thought about the effects of such drastic policies that impoverished millions of people. Okay? In one level, it's not true that Tsipras won. It's true that the incumbent was thrown out. They just said, had enough of this. We need something that might work. You aren't getting it done. Let's try this guy Tsipras. All right? It doesn't mean that Greece has gone communist, but it does mean that they are fed up with a guy who was previously the head of the Greek government, and they wanted him and his party out, or at least reduced. So Tsipras won. But this strikes me as interesting because those who imposed austerity never thought about the effects. Same is true with creditors. How many geniuses do we have on Wall Street who have conjured up ideas like derivatives and fractional reserve banking, and figured how to play the game where they could virtually guarantee that they would win and make more money? They have fixed the game. They have made the game corrupt. They have changed the rules when it suited them to do so. You know, you look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average. It doesn't have the same. What is it today? What would it be if it had the same stocks listed as they had 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 50 years ago? They're constantly shuffling the deck to get rid of the losing stocks and put the winning stocks on there in order to make the in order to increase the evidence that the market is improving. But they're playing it smart, and maybe they have played it too smart. I'm not just talking about the people and criticizing the people who are living on welfare and government subsidies. I'm also criticizing the people who figured they could give these, they could promise this welfare and government subsidies and get elected. And there'd never be a day when it finally was shown up that, look, you were crazy, you were wicked to make those promises, and the people were stupid to accept those promises, and maybe that's where we are. We are coming to a moment of immorality that's undeniable, and perhaps that's what's going to break things down. We're also coming to a moment of commercials. So I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and we'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
A heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Here's another article. It was I found it from Mish's Economic Analysis or Global Trend Economic. I can't remember the precise name of the public. Mish Shedlock. Ireland proposes debt restructuring conference for Spain, Greece, Ireland. All right. This is just the restructuring of the debt, about $19 billion in euros, in the case of Greece, scares the markets for contagion effect. This is just saying, look, the concern I brought to your attention earlier in the program about the implication of Greece is that Greece is not all by itself. It's not an isolated event. Right? It's not like a little volcano that busts loose someplace in the Pacific Ocean, and that's kind of interesting. This has international implications, and will other nations like Ireland, Spain, will they follow suit? And Ireland is proposing a debt restructuring conference. And what they mean by restructuring, is if I owe you $100,000, what do you say that we restructure the debt to where I only owe you $50,000. How's that? That's what restructuring means. It means not paying. Well, we're already seeing evidence that we're of the concern about contagion. The Greek refusal to pay its bills could spread. And here's an article that was, let's see, Irish Times. It says, in part, contrary to many reports, Syriza, that's the Greek anti-austerity party that just won, Syriza is not threatening a unilateral default, but wants Greece's debt burden to be considered within a broader restructuring of sovereign debt in the Eurozone. Syriza's leader, again, Tsipras, has called for a European debt conference, and we would probably think the idea is to cut the debt. They say, oh, that's crazy talk. But he says, no, wait a second. We've done this before. He says, based on the 1953 London conference that wrote off half of post-war Germany's debt and extended the repayment period for the rest of the debt over a number of decades, as well as the Marshall Plan. It is a key factor in enabling Germany's post-war economic miracle. So that's been written off before, and here Germany is, and Germany says, oh, we've got to be austere, and you've got to pay us the money that you owe us. But Germany didn't have a problem getting away with not paying its debts after World War II. So the point in this is that as crazy on one level as debt restructuring sounds, it's not the first time it's been done. And they point out in the case of Germany, but after World War II, the final deal from this London conference wrote off more than half of Germany's debts, stretched out repayments for the remainder of 30 years, and agreed that from 1953 to 58, Germany would only make interest payments. Well, the agreement was a success. Germany paid off its remaining debts on time. They were extended, of course, up to 30 years on this, and with great ease, and its economy rebounded. So now where are we? Is this guy Tsipras crazy? Or is he going to be able to pay this off? I don't think he's going to succeed, but who knows? Maybe the guy, maybe really is pretty smart. And the world didn't fall apart when Germany didn't pay off all of its debts after World War II. You know, we kept on ticking. Nobody died for that.
Yeah, but I don't think there was two quadrillion
in derivatives?
In derivatives floating out there either.
Mm-hmm, I understand that. So, we live in a more complex environment, that's for sure. Any case, we'll watch. Like I say, this is going to be a very interesting laboratory. We're going to follow what happens in Greece over the course of the next 6 months or a year, and it may give us a lot of insight as to what could happen in this country. Will it happen? Don't know. You know, will it happen soon? Don't know. But it really does look like it could happen, and it all goes back to the debt. What can't be paid won't be paid. You know, if the debt is too big to be repaid, guess what? It's not going to be repaid. Nothing you can do can make people pay a debt that they're incapable of paying. And that's where we are as a nation right now. Especially if, you know, government says we have $18 trillion in the national debt. John Williams says, no, it's closer to $100 trillion. Congressional Budget Office and economist Lawrence Kotlikoff say, no, it's over $200 trillion. If it's $18 trillion, we owe $50,000 apiece. If it's $100 trillion, it translates into something like $375,000 per person. If it's $200 trillion, we're talking $700,000. How many of you people got an extra $700,000 to send to Uncle Sammy? Got it? How many of you know anyone who does? How many of you know anyone who's got the money and would be willing to send it to the government? And if you don't know any of those people, it means the debt can't be paid and it's not going to be paid. And it means everybody holding a paper debt instrument that memorializes that debt, and it would be called a U.S. Treasury or U.S. bond, is going to lose much of their assets. That's what it means. And when this happens, you know, we're going to face difficult times. And what is the protection against this? This whole thing, everything we're seeing in Greece is based on one idea, debt. We allowed Greece to go deeper into debt than Greece could repay. That was done foolishly, it was done stupidly, it was done maliciously. Who knows? Everyone who participated in that debt and in allowing that excessive debt, everyone who did that, they have brought on Greece the kind of trauma they're experiencing recently and may experience in the future. The same thing is true for us. Our government's been promising, oh my God, what have they promised for Social Security and government pensions? They're promising to pay off the national debt, promising to pay the bonds. All about debt, and it can't, the promises can't be kept. And when they admit that fact, they wipe out assets. They don't just wipe out debt, they wipe out assets. Without those assets, again, where do the banks find the money to lend to build a new shopping center, factory, business? Provide a loan, put your kids through college. Where do banks get the money when the assets, paper assets, disappear? The whole place is in great jeopardy. And what is the solution? If debt is the problem, and the result of debt is the loss of value in the paper debt instruments like stocks, bonds, pension funds, bank accounts, derivatives, huh? Those are all paper debts. Paper debt instruments, they are all in jeopardy if the debt goes south. How do you protect your wealth? You get it out of paper. All right? You walk away from that. You recognize the risk that's there, inherent in the paper debt instruments, and sit back and say, you know something? I think I'm going to put my wealth into something tangible. Land, guns, tools, gold, silver. And then my wealth will, you know, it might be a bumpy ride, but my wealth will still be there when the people holding on to pieces of paper, you know, they can use it to, they can put them in their shoes to patch the holes in the winter weather, Melody. Maybe people in New York should be thinking about that. They've got the big storm coming.
Mm-hmm.
They might want to save some of their stock to stuff in their shoes next year. Cover the holes so they can walk around in the snow, look for work.
Yes.
So, anyway, we'll keep an eye on Greece and see what happens. Here's another article from the Wall Street Journal. As Euro slides, strategists cut forecasts. Last Friday, the day after the European Central Bank unveiled its bond buying program, the single currency still was in a free fall, blowing past analysts' expectations for how low the euro can go. All right? They thought, well, all right, we're going to have a little deal here. We're going to go out there and we're going to start quantitative easing. And the idea is we're going to try to inflate the euro, cause the value of the euro to fall so we can stimulate our economy. Well, they got their wish. At least as of Friday last week, the euro had fallen further and faster than anyone expected or anticipated. And the reason I bring that to your attention is because they talk about analysts' expectations. They were exceeded. But analysts' expectations were also exceeded the previous week when the Swiss National Bank terminated the Swiss franc's peg to the euro. No analyst seemed to anticipate the effects of the Swiss National Bank's actions, and it were much bigger than anyone expected. And then, a week later, the European Central Bank goes ahead with a new quantitative easing program, and the euro falls faster and further than the analysts had expected. Now, apparently, our analysts aren't so analytical. They are failing to publicly anticipate economic consequences. Does this mean that the analysts be dumb? Or are they intentionally lying to us so we don't properly react to coming economic stimuli, don't protect ourselves appropriately? Or is the economy just so unstable that it's no longer predictable? Huh? This is the kind of, you know, this is the kind of question. What is happening here? How is it that people in positions of power can't anticipate the effects of what the Swiss National Bank did 2 weeks ago and what the European Central Bank did last week? And even what the Greeks are doing now, Sunday, yesterday. Who's got a handle on this? Anybody? Morgan Stanley cut its estimate of where the euro will end in 2015 from $1.12 per euro to $1.05 per euro. Bank of America sees the euro now falling to $1.10 by the end of the year, and from $1.20 they'd previously forecast. And it goes on with a couple more interesting, couple more banks. They predicted something, and now they say, oh, maybe not. So, European Union is getting its wish, the European Central Bank. The euro is falling. Yay! The euro is inflating. Yay! The euro is presumably stimulating the European economy. But all of that is in relationship to our dollar. And given the teeter-totter relationship of the euro, the value of the euro to the value of the U.S. dollar, that means when the euro is going down, the dollar must be going up. Our dollar is inflating, or excuse me, our dollar is deflating and slowing the U.S. economy. So the point in all of this is that good news for the European Union is not necessarily good news for the U.S. The euro's possible success at inflating the euro and stimulating their own economy may only add more pressure to the U.S. economy's slide towards deflation and perhaps even depression. Yeah. This whole thing is moving in strange directions that our economic analysts are failing to adequately predict, or if they know what's happening, they're certainly not releasing accurate information in advance to the American people. Or the people of the world.
Well,
you got to think for yourself as best you can. Think for yourself and protect yourself as best you can.
People are getting really upset with the bankers. You had people protesting in Romania against the high repayments for the Swiss franc loans. Mm-hmm. Remember, a lot of them took out mortgage loans against the Swiss franc because they had lower interest rates. And now they've been hit by the strong franc, mm-hmm. and even more so, of course, after the SMB abolished its currency ceiling this month. So, when you have the currency to increase by 40% against the euro, people are upset. And they're blaming the banks for offering deceptively cheap loans. And of course, they're calling on the government to try to regulate these hard currency loans. But then you have the government in with the banks, so that's not going to happen.
So we live in interesting times. That's the lesson. Then you have to prepare for them. You have to do what you can to protect yourself.
And the people always get hurt. Always going to be left. And so unless you prepare.
Yep. The unintelligent, the uneducated, they're the ones that are going to take the biggest hit and what's coming. You need to prepare as best you can to protect yourself. We're out of time. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedars from on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. Let's tune in at that time. Bye-bye. May the good Lord bless each and every one of you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. See you tomorrow.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.